There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and the Monday edition of Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you here. And looking through the text line, you see that, Dalton? I have people that are angry. I must have not have explained myself correctly, or maybe I did. The question was, would you have a different... If you are somebody who is... I'm one of those people. I just read the flag code. The flag code for the rules on flying the flag at half staff, right? The rules of half staff. And it goes into flag code, and it says it's for senators and representatives and a handful of other positions, you lower the flag on the day of the death and the following day. And that's it. And then it goes back up. So at 12:01 this morning, the report is the flag goes up over the White House. You know, everybody in media started this morning very early, pointing out that, oh, the Capitol has it at half staff, and the White House has it at full staff. Actually, technically, the White House has it correct. But I did challenge you, if you are somebody who would kind of look inside and see where you would stay on this, or where you land on this, if the same thing, if everything else was the same, and John McCain had passed in 2015 or 2016 with Barack Obama at the White House, would you have the same reaction as defending the flag? And, you know, this is going back to the fact that we still don't know who said, you know, raise it back up at 12:01. I don't know. I wasn't there. Everybody jumps an assumption here, but I don't know that. But if you believe it was the president, those that are, you know, ripping the president right now, or trying to, would they be ripping Barack Obama? And those who are defending the president, would they be defending the president if that president was not President Trump? Just a little exercise there. I'm going to throw my buddy Jeff Poore into this mix as well. He's with Breitbart, Lanyap, and Yellowhammer News. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, a pleasure here, and lots to talk about today as it has turned into, seems like at least maybe it's just people that do what we do and people on social media that have turned it into a political debate instead of a discussion of, hey, man, there was a pretty great American, pretty strong war hero that passed over the weekend.
Yeah, let's be fair here. The cable channels that cover this have really weaponized John McCain and made it a political hot button, I think. But that being said, there's enough of that to go around. Just McCain was certainly a polarizing figure to the right. I don't think that's you know, a controversial statement.
Right.
But I understand that, you know, you when you really look deep into somebody's life as we have with his death, I think this is just kind of a natural reaction. You're gonna have people that really loved him, really hated him, and people just trying to stir the pot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm on the island here, I guess, in the middle. Well, I'm not on the island in the fact that I respect his service to our country, but I agree with you 100%. I mean, just look out there. Weaponizing, yeah, that's a good word for it. The people on the left that have taken the death of John McCain, people who would have fought against John McCain in the past, people that assailed John McCain in the past from the left, are now, you know, raising him up on high because they're using it as a weapon against the president. I completely see that happening. At the same time, there's a bunch of people on the right that feel like they got to get their last punch in on the body or something like that, and I don't get that.
I think it's just a natural reaction to the media sort of glamorizing him. They were hard on McCain. They built him up for 2000, and then they built him up all the way into 2008, I would argue. And then as soon as he was the opponent to Barack Obama, they started tearing him down. You had these stories about him having an affair with a lobbyist. They tried to bring up the Keating 5 stuff. They did a lot of things that the media, and now they're trying to have it the other way, where they're, you know, well, if we only had more men like John McCain, we wouldn't have crazy presidents like Donald Trump. And I think when they do that, they inspire that kind of reaction that you're getting from some people, that just, it will, you know, it will just turn them against John McCain, even in his death.
Now let's talk about this. And I'm getting people like you that had the situation to be around John McCain in the past to give us some insight into what he was like. I mean, people have talked about he was gruff. He was he was rough as sandpaper. He was curmudgeon. Those kind of things. At the same time, I hear that would all go on, but you know, he would also, after all the fighting had been done, he would also sit down with the people, not yell and scream at them.
Well, I'll say this. I know he was hard to work for, because I know people that work for him. I was around him a little bit. He had a little bit of a temper. You know, you could see this kind of around and about the corridors of Congress. But away from all that, when he's not doing hand-to-hand combat over immigration reform or whatever, he was a good politician. He knew how to, like, work the cameras, work the room. He knew how to, raise money. He did all these things just right. The one story I like to tell was my very first encounter ever with him, and that was happened to be in Mobile at the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse over there at the airport. He was doing a fundraiser for George Wallace Jr. It was 2006. George Wallace Jr. was running against Luther Strange and Mo Brooks for lieutenant governor, and they had a fundraiser, and he came into Mobile and did the fundraiser. So naturally, you have, the camera line with the grip and grin, and you pay $1,000, get your picture made with John McCain. And he was an absolute pro at this. He knew how to tell the cameraman which way to tell people to stand. He positioned people just right. It was like he was working the show. And then, like, you kind of realize, like, a guy like that, you know, for him to, like, kind of have that knowledge and to be able to orchestrate that, to me, it just, that goes to his political bona fides.
Now, with that being said, what the Maverick label and all that, you know, people will argue that he took out that, his temper and all that and voted certain ways to settle political scores. You can go, case by case and maybe pick out some where people believe that's true. But something that I'm completely, one of the many things I was completely opposed to the way John McCain looked at things was his neocon stance. But I do think that came from a real place. I don't think that was AstroTurf. I don't think that was created. I think that was a true core belief. And while I disagree with it, I can respect the guy. That's what he thinks. That's how he feels about the world. And he served his country and does get a right to talk, maybe more than I do.
Yeah, it comes from a guy that actually served and actually, was a prisoner of war. And, it's hard to tarnish him as or label him as a chicken hawk, or like the way they maligned George W. Bush and his administration during the Iraq War. So he came from a place where very aggressive foreign policy, very strong American foreign policy, even in, places that, why we would get in these foreign entanglements that a lot of people disagreed with. But I do think it was more of a philosophy that he believed it was worth sending our men and women overseas to fulfill these foreign policy visions. And it was much different than, say, if it come from somebody that would never send their children off to war, never served a day, never even stepped foot on a military base or whatever and seen the hardships this cost. I think it's much more credible coming from him. And that's when you say, well, I think he really believed it ideologically, mm-hmm. because he understood the cost of that.
Yeah, I mean, more than anybody else he was working around, I mean, understood what he was voting to send U.S. Troops to do. Coming back from the break, more with Jeff Poor. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. And then U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. President is living up to his promises there. A renegotiation of NAFTA. Well, it's not NAFTA, and Canada's not in it, but it definitely is a renegotiation of the deal between the U.S. and Mexico. We'll get his take on that, too, when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And by the way, heads up, programming note, new show debuting tonight, 7 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. Sports night. That means they'll talk about sports and it'll be at night. And it's, of course, Dalton Norwig and Corey LeBounty. And they're doing the show, and you'll be able to catch out the debut edition. They've given themselves the easiest week to have so many things. Well, maybe next week or maybe from now through January. But they have a lot of easy weeks coming up in sports night. Lots to talk about. That's at 7 o'clock tonight, debuting right here at FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with our buddy Jeff Poor from Breitbart and Lanyap and Yellowhammer News, and talking about a little bit about the passing of Senator McCain. I thought it was pretty interesting that they said, well, he would body be flown back to Washington. He's going to lie in state. I looked that up this morning. Only 31 in the history of our republic, only 31 people have lied in state. Lain in state? What is it? Lain in state? Lied in state at the rotunda.
That seems low, but I guess it's not too terribly surprising, because if you think about it, I mean, how many times have we seen it on TV in the last few years? And I can think of, like, Rosa Parks, Ronald Reagan. And you can only think of a handful of names. So, yeah, I don't think it's, like, completely surprising that few have lain in state at the U.S. Capitol rotunda.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's just a big deal and part of the legacy of John McCain. All right, let's talk about what was happening today on the international trade front, and the president taking a well. Here's the president's comments here, and then we can talk about the fact that it looked like they were using GoToMeeting or something to talk to the president of Mexico. But President Trump talking about a new deal with Mexico.
It's a big day for trade, big day for our country. A lot of people thought we'd never get here because we all negotiate tough. We do, so does Mexico. And this is a tremendous thing. I will terminate the existing deal. When that happens, I can't quite tell you. It depends on what the timetable is with Congress, but I'll be terminating the existing deal and going into this deal. This has to do, they used to call it NAFTA, we're going to call it the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. We'll get rid of the name NAFTA. It has a bad connotation because the United States was hurt very badly by NAFTA for many years.
Okay, so USMCA, whatever the acronym is here, President Trump, well, you know what? Living up to his promises, right? I mean, this is a renegotiated deal. The market seems to like it.
Yeah, the market loves it, so I think that tells you a lot. Maybe, you know, he's been playing hardball with Mexico going all the way back to the 16 campaign, right? So we knew this was going to happen eventually. I think Mexico talked tough. You had Vicente Fox, the former president, going out there, kind of trash-talking Trump. I think that they finally kind of said, well, we got to play ball with this guy, and this is what you're getting. And you know, not just because the market's like it doesn't mean it's necessarily the best thing, but I agree with him on this. NAFTA has some very negative connotations. Mm-hmm. It's seen as the reason why a lot of American jobs went overseas. So when he does stuff like this, you know, you can, whatever he tweets and does all the stuff that people kind of frown upon, when he does stuff like this, I think it just improves upon his resume.
Well, I think this is a big win. I don't know if he gets, I mean, if he's getting grief from people, even somebody like me, and we've had this discussion time and time again about free trade versus tariffs, but I will argue this, since we're not in a textbook and we're dealing with the world as it stands right now and the deals that have been made, I think this, in that setting, this is a better, at least what I've seen so far, is a better deal for American workers. Obviously, it's good enough for Mexico for them to sign on too.
Yeah, and that was the big part of it. It's just a lot of this globalization stuff was going to happen, and it was going to be inevitable. But we as a country Congress didn't need to pave the way for these jobs to leave the country. And I think that was a lot of what people kind of frowned upon with the original NAFTA. We were promised all these things. We were promised how great it was going to be, just supported. And then you're standing there and you're scratching your head. Well, we have to pay tariffs to other countries, but they don't with us. The free trade argument only was seeming to go one way. At least now that free trade argument, it does seem that it's, at least from what we hear, I don't know what the details are going to be necessarily, but from what we hear, it's going to be a little more even-handed, and you're not going to be as punitive for our goods leaving the United States.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give you some details, very few I've seen here, but one, like, under current law, 62% of the parts in any car sold in North America must be produced in the region, or automakers will have to pay import taxes. So that's already a thing, y'all. We're living with that. New preliminary agreement would require 75% of auto parts be made in the U.S. and Mexico. And in addition, I heard somewhere that they would also, I think the president said it, that the people making those parts would have to make the minimum of $16 an hour. Now, listen, I can go off on a rant on putting, you know, government-imposed minimum wages in for different jobs, but in the short term or in the smaller game between the United States and Mexico, that's going to improve people's quality of life, although at the same time, I can turn around and argue it may be inflationary, and you may make more, you know, per hour, but you may pay more for all kind of things.
Well, it does keep the Mexicans from the Mexican government from really keeping wages depressed. Now, it makes it a little bit of a fair play field for the United States. Just look at it from that perspective, and that what's best for us as a country, I think, has that is what we're trying to accomplish here. And, you know, we could talk about the free market economics of it all, but if you're just looking at it from a United States negotiating position, and I think it's a win on for us in that regard.
No, I absolutely do. And what Jeff's saying there, y'all listen to this, with that $16 an hour minimum, then a factory in Mexico has to be at least at that level, which it's still not. Jeff, I mean, to be fair, that's still not what, you know, most U.S. auto workers are making hourly. It's not there, but at least it brings that margin closer together when somebody starts looking at the cost of production and shipping and all those kind of things, that it may make it more viable to keep more jobs inside the United States.
Yeah, and the other thing it does is we talk about that, but, I mean, look at the cost of living in Mexico and how far $16 an hour will go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There'll be inflation, but you know where the inflation will be? Probably in some of these places where you need to have a little inflation, where the cost of living is low, where wages are depressed, and there's not a whole lot of economic activity, but it does impact our economic activity because companies can go over there and do these things. Now that we're kind of getting those wage scales a little closer together, it makes it a little less appealing for a company to take those jobs and build for those manufacturing facilities elsewhere.
All right, we'll run the phones and grab a call here. Let's go to Thomas in Theodore. You're on with Jeff Poore.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, man.
I enjoy your commentary each week, Jeff.
Thank you.
He hasn't made a deal. The president hasn't made a deal. He hasn't canceled the existing NAFTA contract yet. He's still talking about it. We know nothing.
Well, Congress
about
has to
it.
Approve it, too.
How will this affect the markets on our GDP, on a total totality of trade with Asia and Europe? Little effect. This is only, he brought this up to take, he had a bad week last week, and he's getting hammered about John McCain, and that's where this came from.
Thomas, he's been working on this. How are all the people that have been working on this all this time, did they just organize over the weekend to get this done? Come on, man. Jeff?
Well, I would say this. Think of it like this. Don't think of it as a trade agreement. Think of it kind of as a trade alliance, and think of it in terms of United States and Mexico versus the European Union or any of these other Asian sort of alliances, and think of us working together with them. I think how formidable that is when you look at the whole global picture. Mm-hmm. If the United States and Mexico are getting along, Canada's not in the middle of this. What are the Canadians saying right now? Well, we need to get to the table and start talking. We don't want to get left out of this. It'll be US, Mexico versus Canada. And there's a lot of working pieces like that. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, there's criticism to be made, and you can quibble with the timing or any of it, but I do think it shows the United States and Mexico got something up their sleeves, and that's why you're kind of seeing it in the markets today.
And that's the best. We would talk about a focus group testing. If I was to be cynical in saying that it was just being floated, well, you floated it today. The markets reacted like they did. Members of Congress, whose votes will be important on this, they all saw that. So if you're the president, you just gave them the cover, if they needed it politically, to follow along, because there's a bunch of bunch of dollars that just flowed towards the president's decision, right? Towards his deal.
Yeah, and I think that it also helps the president's case that the Mexican government's on board with it. So it doesn't look like all of a sudden he's just unilaterally imposing tariffs and doing things that that can really mess up the apple cart and upset the apple cart, right? He is working with other places. So either you take this deal that I got to offer you to Congress, or I'm going to do something completely different. I'm going to have to use my pen and my phone and do these things. At least with this, you have a little bit of say-so. And I do think that he could go to Congress with it, and they could tweak it some to make some of the members happy. There may be parts of it that they have some questions about. But at least now they're in the middle of that discussion, whereas where they were, it was Trump acting unilaterally out of, he was using the line about national security and how that was his reasoning for the ability to levy these tariffs. What I think is now you have a more of a environment where Congress can actually do something, get involved. Now, whether that happens in this political polarized climate, I don't know, but at least it seems like there's something in theory coming together.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again, of course, this week on Mobile Mornings. People want to reach out to you online. Where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And I appreciate it. And so we got folks that actually have firsthand experience, had met John McCain over the years, and getting them all on the phone for today's show is a good thing. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Oh, yeah. The Drag Queen Story Hour debate. And I saw a tweet here about a satanic cult of lesbianism. That was a quote from today's meeting. We'll find out more about that when we get back. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm sorry, I just heard Gordon Deal talking about uncut hedges and unmown lawns and all those things. And I just look at it, the latest updates from Nextdoor, the Nextdoor app, which is just sometimes there's some valuable pieces of information come along, and then there's a lot of times it's people just looking out their window and thinking everything is there's a car driving through our neighborhood, driving at the speed limit. It seems questionable. Well, I might actually agree with that. If a car's going through the neighborhood not doing 45, it may be people put stuff up on Nextdoor like sedan driving through neighborhood, be on the lookout. It's a sedan driving through a neighborhood. Okay, all right, I'll be on the lookout. I'll bolo that baby. All right, grab some phone calls and text at 343-0106. Plus, then I want to get into the latest here on the planned Drag Queen Story Time and what had happened today. First, though, we can talk some I don't know how we're going to start saying that acronym there, but the new acronym for the U.S.-Mexico Trade Agreement, not NAFTA, but USMATA, something like that. David is next in Mobile.
Hey, Sean, if you add the lowercase e in Mexico, you can actually pronounce it USMETA, like metadata.
But that's just adding in. You can't, when you're doing an acronym, that's stretching. Just to say, well, I'm going to grab this extra vowel. You can't do that, man. You use the first letter or you don't make the acronym.
Well, let's ask Pat Sajak if we can buy that vowel. How about that?
There you go. Can we get a vowel? All right, yeah, what do you want to talk about here?
On this trade deal, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on this because, as I do with most things with Trump, because, he's the great salesman of the United States. He over-promises, and then sometimes he under-delivers on what he promises. So,
like what?
Let's just take, you're putting me on the spot, and I'm driving through my super secret way around all the traffic in the Eastern Shore, so I can't really think.
It's traffic's fault. Okay, I see. So the wreck on I-10 westbound from this morning is the reason you can't back it up. Okay, all right.
But it's just like tariffs. I mean, the tariffs have done more harm than they've done good. I mean, because we really haven't slapped a whole lot of tariffs on Mexico. Mexico was a willing willing negotiating partner from the beginning for renegotiating NAFTA. NAFTA. So there's that. Yeah, and there's other examples as well. But so I'm gonna take a wait and see approach. I said when President Trump was inaugurated that I'm not gonna be one of these never Trumpers like Quinn Hillier that's just going to blast everything he does wrong just because he did it. If he does something right, I'm gonna give him credit for it. And so I'm gonna take a wait
fair.
And see.
That's fair. All right. So this Mexico deal, I mean, let's say on what we know now, I think the interesting nuance there is increased production between Mexico and the United States for, if they want to avoid tariffs, instead of 62%, I love the arbitrary nature of things. I know there's reasons, but it's the numbers always and percentages are always interesting. Going from 62% of the parts being built in the U.S. or Mexico to avoid the tariff to 75%. But the other part of it I thought that was interesting is that $16 an hour minimum wage for anybody building those parts for the cars. Now, in the United States, that's still well below what folks are making in an auto assembly plant. But in Mexico, that's a big jump. You could say, well, it will lead to fewer jobs, but maybe jobs making more money in Mexico. But it'll definitely make people consider, before moving a facility south of the border, they're going to say, by the time we factor in trucking and this and that and the other, maybe we're better off, staying where we are.
That is that is correct, Sean, and it's going to be interesting to see how that $16 an hour wage for automobile workers in Mexico actually ends up affecting their economy, and if it improves their economy to the point that people actually have a real choice between crime and drugs and actually having an honest living down in Mexico.
What a great way to look at it. David, I commend you on that. That's true, that it'll give that it'll give that choice. I think if you have a bigger, and there is a Mexican middle class, it's not huge, but if you have a bigger Mexican middle class, will it lead to less? I don't think they'll be completely gone, but less control by the cartels of what goes on there. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, have a good one.
There it is. All right, David, good job. Getting some of the updates here, but the latest I have, and most of this is from Twitter. They've had they had the meeting about the drag queen story hour. Remember this? We talked about this the other day. This is slated for the library, right? This is supposed to be happening on September 5th, I think. So you have drag queens coming to read books to the children there. Okay, and so the easy thing, I think our polling has said, let's see the latest there. People were not excited about the idea of the drag queens coming to read stories, but I would argue that on the side of who cares, it would be the fact that no taxpayer dollars go into it, and it's not compulsory. Parents don't have to take their children. At the same time, I got to add in the part that it is a public building. And how do we get in? I don't know. This is a tough one. Could you look at it and say, like, I don't think anybody, I think it'll be lightly attended. Maybe protesters, but I'm talking about people taking their children to go to drag queen story time. Okay? I think it'll be lightly attended. But if you say, okay, you can't do that, and I know Pastor Fred Wolf and others have said, petitioned the city not to do this, but if you say they can't, now how far does this go? How far does this, because if they can't go, then where does it go? Where's the next and next level? If they can't go, then this group can't go and that group can't go. I don't know. The one thing that makes me not just say, well, what do you care, is the fact that it's in a public building. That's a sticking point with me, why I think it's even up for debate. Okay, that's why I even think it's up for debate. If it was at a offsite private property and they wanted to do the story time and invite people to come out and people did or did not, it wouldn't be our business. But the fact that it's at the library does bring up, I agree, brings up at least a discussion. On the flip side of it is, well, if you say no to drag queen story time, can that come back around and they say, well, this group or that other group, because some people don't like, you know, what they stand for, they can't be at the library either. I don't know. What do you think? 343-0106. And yeah, we'll get to, somebody said, I see the seal story. I did. It says this guy from Alabama fined. Yeah, I think you heard the story in the WKRG news update. $1,500 for touching a Hawaiian monk seal, as well as harassing a sea turtle on Kauai, then posting the videos on social media. So I worried about this because I got to see how what you do to harass a sea turtle. Because I posted pictures up. We were lucky enough to go to Hawaii earlier in the year or earlier in the month, beginning of August, and I posted some pictures up on my Instagram of a sea turtle on one of my daily hikes there. I got to take a series of pictures. I didn't think I was harassing the sea turtle. I stayed, I didn't touch the sea turtle. I didn't, to use a technical term here, monkey with the sea turtle, but I did get down, on the ground and take real close pictures or with the zoom there of this sea turtle on the beach. So I don't know now. I'm worried because the officials, according to Honolulu Star Advertiser, that NOAA, not that Noah from the Bible, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says the resident is going to have to pay this fine. Alabama resident is going to have to pay this fine because he, it says here, touched the Hawaiian monk seal, which they are an endangered species. Okay, I didn't do that. But it says he was harassing the sea turtle. I don't know what fits in harassment of a sea turtle, but that's, so I'm worried, Dalton. I may be having to take that off the Instagram. I don't want to get some fine. All right, let's go to the phones, and Tim is in Mobile up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sean. The only comment I've got about that is if there's a movie playing and I don't want to go see it, I won't go.
Right.
If I've got kids that I'm taking to the library and the drag queens down there reading stories, I'll take them somewhere else. It's just a matter of, the people that go are not forced to listen to it, and it's a choice you have to make, my friend. Talk to you later.
All right, Tim, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, once again, the only part of this to me that that I think it brings up this discussion that it is a public venue, right? But then again, at the same time, if you would deny, I think it's interesting, if you deny drag queen story time at the public library, then does that set some kind of precedent going forward? And then the next group that comes out, somebody said, well, I disagree with them. And then they don't get to do their thing. I don't think there's going to be a big attendance on this. Maybe people protesting, maybe a bunch of grown-ups battling it out within each other. But I don't know there'll be many kids present at that. But we'll see. I know that there was a push to get this event canceled. All I know is watching on Twitter, I know that John Sharp said he had a story coming out in just a little bit about it over at AL.com. I think he was there. He said, where's the quote here? Can I find it when I need it? All right. The satanic cult of lesbianism, one of the speakers during today's protest over the Drag Queen Story Hour. He said he'd have more on that coming up later. He said a packed house at Government Plaza regarding Drag Queen Story Hour. Commissioner Connie Hudson says she doesn't approve of the event, but there is nothing Mobile County commissioners can do. So, there you go. Nothing they can do, and we'll get your take on that. 343-0106. Coming right back, 343-0106. Also grab you on the text line, same number. Plus, we'll talk about what's brand new. Details from Dalton coming up about Sports Night, debuting tonight at 7 o'clock. Yeah, they've got it stacked. They've got a whole bunch of sports to talk about because, well, it is the week leading into all the big games in college football as we get started on Saturday, which, by the way, reminder, Auburn is going to be, of course, on here on Saturday. Auburn football all season long. In addition, Coach's Show on Thursday night. You have the Auburn Tiger Radio Show with Bo Meganson. That's on every Wednesday night. And we've got Sports Night now. And, of course, the Paul Feinbaum Show that follows this one. So we got you on everything you need for sports going forward for the next couple months. All right, 146 FM Talk, 106.5 coming right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 151, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Looking through some of the text here from y'all. Okay, this is good. This is good. Some questions here and comments about the drag queen story time. Like I said, the point that I think it's a nuanced conversation is because it's at the library. No taxpayer money going in. It's not compulsory. So those things, if those are sources of agitation, they don't exist. But it is at the library. I know from the text line here, John says, just don't take kids to the drag show. It's no big deal. Jace, you abuse me. Jace says, man, I kind of want a drag queen to read me a story. Eric's the best so far. I might not be politically correct, but I think an awesome punishment is a drag queen story hour. My teenagers better be on their best behavior this week. Jeez. Okay, y'all act right or I'm going to make y'all go sit for story time. Yeah, and now I'm getting pictures. Cool, thank you. Pictures of people, to use a technical term, monkeying with a sea turtle. I'm worried after this, I was same place, right? So same place I was, different island. I was on Oahu, but I was taking my hike down the beach on the North Shore each morning, doing a little fishing and snorkeling and all that kind of stuff, and I saw lots of sea turtles, and one was on the beach right there, still just lazy, like 7 o'clock in the morning, hadn't gone back in the water, did not have a nest, well, hadn't laid eggs, but was chilling, kicking it, and I got some pictures of and put on the Instagram. I don't know if my proximity to the sea turtle, like y'all, I know better. I'm not trying to get it from getting back in the water. I was on the other side, but I took the pictures of the sea turtle. I don't know if now I'm on record, because they said the folks in Hawaii saw the pictures on social media, and that's how they did their investigation and fined old boy $1,500.
Well, you were the first person I thought about when I saw this story, because I did remember that picture, or was it a video that you
Yeah, I tell you, the pictures I put up on the Instagram. Yeah.
But I did remember the picture that you took of the sea turtle while you were there in Hawaii. I didn't go back and check for infractions.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and delete that right now. also, I mentioned tonight, debut for Sports Night, 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we get it started tonight, 7 o'clock. Myself, Corey LeBounty, James Dennis, we're talking college football in particular, but that's not the plan for the entire forthcoming history of Sports Night. We're going to talk about all the major sports, but during football season, there's going to be a whole lot of college football talk and NFL talk, and we'll do that every Monday night. Kind of a recap of the weekend in sports, because not all people are as lucky or, I guess, lazy as myself and are able to...
How about, like, in a given weekend? Once college is wide open and pros wide open, how many hours of football do you consume in a weekend?
Well, I have my Saturdays here or there where I don't spend the entire day in front of the TV, but usually on Saturday from 11 a.m. until at least 5 p.m., 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Usually a West Coast game goes later.
So. Yeah, and I'll take a break. I'll take a good 3-4 hour break, spend time with, my lovely wife.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Do some yard work on occasion if I don't make her go out and cut the grass, which I never do. I'm always the one doing that. Yeah. But so I probably watch on a given weekend seven games, counting college and NFL.
Man.
But there are people out there that watch every single game they're able to. Right. And I am one of those people. And it's been passed down generations of Orwig,
right,
where we have at least two or three TVs on in the same room. You know how Jeff Poor has his news set up in his office?
His monitors watching all the TV networks.
That's how I am once football comes to town. I've got them on every screen.
So, okay, will y'all make any predictions for the next one? Because I'm thinking we've got our college pick'em open right now. We're going to close down that on Friday, so people still have a little time to get in on our College Pick'em Challenge. Could I listen to y'all tonight and every Monday night and get some picks for the following week or that coming weekend?
Yeah, that's the plan. And since I'm in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em, and I will be choosing the games, I have to be really careful about what kind of information.
Are you going to be sandbagging me or something?
I might give out the wrong picks, but the way this works is I would try to give out the wrong pick, and then I would be correct in giving that out, and I would be the big loser in the whole thing. But yeah, we'll go through the 10 ESPN games every week, and since this is radio and we always try to tie in the national day of, yesterday was National Dog Day.
That's right.
And I'm going to tie this in later today. I got Corey to come up with his. Hopefully he's got them ready for tonight's show. But the big dog of the week
and also the
big underdog of the year, we're both going to give a title selection that we think could come out of nowhere. And it, of course, would not be the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama Crimson Tide, the Clemson Tigers, Georgia Bulldogs, none of them would count.
Right, there's going to be something we don't see, like we don't see right now.
Right, a big underdog, and then a big underdog each week we'll try to give out, and then also the games that we like, the favorites that we think will pull through every week. So we'll talk about the big games each weekend, week out. Tonight we'll talk about a lot of the quarterback battles now that fall camp has wrapped and the big games are coming up this weekend. A lot of the quarterback battles have been decided, and a lot haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I know this morning Florida State, they announced DeAndre Francois was returning to start behind quarterback. So we'll go through all those, a lot of the headlines from over the weekend, including some NFL things that went down, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah,
Prep Sports Report's Corey LeBounty is joining me, and he even though he knows everything about high school sports, I mean, you can't trick him on any of those questions. His knowledge is just as good about all the other sports. And I know after so many years of being around Corey and being good friends with him, we just talk for hours about the NBA, college football, NFL, and we're able to do that now live on FM Talk 106.5, so I can't wait.
All right, get your sports fix tonight and going forward with Sports Night, 7 o'clock Mondays right here at FM Talk 106.5. And side note, too, from now through Friday, it would be like Friday midnight or Friday, well, we set an arbitrary time.
You can technically register for FM Talk College Pick'em before Sunday at 11 a.m., but you're cutting it real close by then. You have to have your games.
Saturday.
Saturday, that's correct. Yeah. See, I was trying to trick people.
Yeah, I see that.
Saturday by 11 a.m., that's when the first games kick off. We've got 105 already. It's a bigger group than I expected, so quick, so close to the season. So maybe we can get that number up to 125. I believe in it.
All right, y'all check it out. It's coming up tonight and going forward. Remember to podcast of this show and all the other shows like Sports Night. You can check out on our podcast page by hitting the drop down there on the front page of fmtalk1065.com, or even better, you can subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher. You can get them over at Spotify. You can also check them out through TuneIn Radio. That's the app you listen to us on your smartphone with. You can get those podcasts there as well. So check it out. All right, I got to get out of here because Paul Feinbaum is your lead in.
Yeah, he opened for the FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
Right, so he's got a four-hour show to talk about football and get you ready for it as well. All right, see you in the morning.
I'll be here.
All right, we'll do it tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock for Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5 and Sports Night tonight at 7.